Who can tell me who this is? Yeah? Okay, that's David Walliams. David Walliams is a comedian, he's an actor, and he's one of the judges on Britain's Got Talent. So you may have seen him. He's also the author of a number of children's books. Here's just a few of them. The Gangster Granny, The Demon Dentist, Billionaire Boy, Slime, and there's lots more. And my search on the internet tells me that he sold 37 million children's books. So he's one of the fastest, one of the children's authors. His sales faster growing than anyone else. But a couple of years ago, Walliams did an interview for a newspaper, for the Guardian newspaper. And amongst other things, Walliams was asked about the books that he liked to read. Okay, what do you like to read? And then he was asked if there was a book that he'd started but failed to finish. And the book he chose as the one he'd started but failed to finish was the Bible. And this is what he said about the Bible. I bought a Bible with the intention of finally reading it from cover to cover. While I was reading Genesis, I found myself flicking all the way to Revelation. We've thought about doing that, haven't we? You know, nipping to the end, to see if there was a happy ending. Sadly, there isn't. Okay, we were thinking about endings to stories, how books end. So when it comes to the Bible, and Walliams tells us there's no happy ending, is he right? Does the Bible have a happy ending or not? Well, the best person to answer that question would, of course, be Jesus. And we're going to listen to Jesus now as Jesus talks about what happened when he went to a dinner party. He got invited round for a meal by a man called Simon. And Simon invited Jesus for a meal along with Simon's friends. They were Pharisees. And much to their annoyance, Jesus had started to talk about the way that God welcomes people, whoever they are and whatever they've done. And then one of the guests in the party pipes up to say how great it is to be welcomed by God into God's kingdom. And then Jesus tells a story. You'll find the passage printed out in the service sheet. Have a look for that, and Lynn's going to come and read it for us.
When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field, and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I have just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and country lanes and make them come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.'"
Lynn, thank you. So Jesus tells this story about God's kingdom. That means God's perfect rule. It's coming, People are being invited. That's what we hear in the story. The invitations are going out. People are being invited. And Jesus says it's like being invited to a great feast. It's being like being invited to the most brilliant party ever, the absolutely not to be missed party. And Jesus is inviting people. God's preparing a party. It's coming. Okay. You've heard what Jesus said. Here's the question. Does the Bible have a happy ending or not? In your families, you might like to talk with your children. You might just like to turn to your neighbor and answer the question. On the basis of what Jesus says, not what you think, because that's irrelevant, what does Jesus say about the future? Does the Bible have a happy ending or not? Talk to one another. Right, okay, does the Bible have a happy ending or not? Who's worked out the answer? Okay, somebody says yes. Yeah, okay. Yes and no. Okay. It depends, okay, thank you. The answer is, does the Bible have a happy ending? It's yes and no, isn't it? Because it entirely depends on your response to the invitation. There's no shortage of invitations, notice. In fact, absolutely everyone gets invited. Look at the passage. Have a look at it in front of you. Look at verse 17 in the story. At the time of the banquet, the man sent his servants to tell those who'd been invited, come, for everything is now ready. So Jesus here, he's talking about the people of his own time. He's talking about the people who lived while he lived in Jerusalem in the first century, people like Simon and his friends. And Jesus said about them, they've already received the invitation. And what does he mean by that? They've already received the invitation. He means they already have the first half of the Bible. It's called the Old Testament. They already have the law and the prophets. They already have God's invitation to the party. It's already gone out. But now the time for the party's arrived. The king is here. King Jesus is here. It's party time, so come. But many of them don't. And they begin to make their excuses. I bought a field, says one. I need to go and see it. I bought some oxen. I need to go and try them out. You know, I bought a new car. I need to go for a very long drive in it. I've just got married. So that means I can't possibly do anything. The excuses come out. So, Jesus says, the invitations go out again. Look at verse 21. And they go out again, verse 23. To all the world, everyone is invited, come to the feast. When Jesus says, make them come in, verse 23, he doesn't mean force people, compel them in that sense, but through the wonder of what they're being invited to, the brilliance of the party, the love, the welcome, the generosity of the king who says, come. Come, you're invited. You've been invited to the party. So does the Bible have a happy ending? Yes, says Jesus, of course it has a happy ending if you join me at my party. Does the Bible have a happy ending? No, if you decline my invitation. Just have a look at that again. You see, here's the lie of those who say God never gets angry. Look at verse 21. The owner of the house, that's a picture of God, the owner of the house became angry. God gets angry when people like Simon and his friends and you and me say no to Jesus. Turn our backs on Jesus, reject the amazing invitation that Jesus sends out to come to his party. God is sad, God is angry when we throw the invitation back in his face. Okay, so what about the party? What about this party? What about this feast? Now, here's a question for you. If you were about to have a party, and you can do this as an age-differentiated question, okay? So you guys at the front don't have to answer the same as those old folks at the back, okay? So I just want to know, work out amongst yourselves what your favorite menu would be. What food are you going to have at your party? So just talk to one another for a moment. Decide what the menu is going to be at your most amazing party. What are you going to choose? Okay, that'll do, yes. Too many pizzas. So who's having pizza at their party? Terry Tozer's having pizza. Terry, that's the guys at the front who are supposed to be having. No, okay. What's your topping, Terry? Caviar or? Sorry? Oh, thank you. Okay. What are you going to have?
Roast dinner.
Roast dinner. Wow. Hey, well done. Okay, any other suggestions? What would you like? What are you going to have?
A giant cake that fills the
whole room. How many people are coming to your party? Oh, just one. Oh, you're the only one there. Sorry. Okay, I get it. Brilliant. Okay. A few years ago, Kim and I got invited to a party, to a celebration meal. It was held here at Le Manoir Restaurant, which is a Michelin-starred restaurant near Oxford, with the chef Raymond Blanc that you may have seen on TV. And beside him is their current menu. Now, I have no idea what some of those things are. I have no idea what truffled hen's egg with wild mushroom tea. I've got no idea what that might be. Does anybody know? If so, please come and tell me afterwards. I'd love to know what wild mushroom tea is. Sounds great. I have to say, it was amazing. We were treated like royalty. We had a waiter on hand, whatever we needed. And when it came to the speeches, our hosts, well, they wanted us to know that this really, really was a free lunch. That it had been paid for, that it was their joy, a gift to their friends, and they wanted their friends to come and share this feast. But it had been paid for. Which was a huge relief to those of us like me, who'd actually been on the internet beforehand, looked up the menu, and seen the price. I won't tell you, but those of you who've got good eyesight can see the price of the current menu, and that's without the wine to go with it. But it's quite expensive. And you're sitting there thinking, hey, hang on, there's absolutely no way I can afford it. There's no way I could pay this bill. No way at all. I'm suddenly feeling really out of place in this restaurant. As if I don't belong. But that guest who piped up at the party Jesus went to had it right, didn't he? When he said, blessed is the man, blessed is the person who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of heaven. Blessed. Blessed, it means blessed by God. It means contented, joyful, satisfied, at home with God. Blessed by God. In other words, this feast that Jesus is promising in the future, there is absolutely nothing better than this feast. You know, you imagine the most brilliant thing in the world, the most fantastic feast you can imagine. What Jesus is promising is way, way, way beyond that. This is the tops. This is the ultimate in joy, in peace, in love. And a couple of other things to note. This feast never ends. And there's nothing whatsoever to spoil it. To be welcomed at the table of the King, that's the party that Jesus is promising. And more than that, if you remember the words with which we began our service, they told us a little bit more about this feast. The kind of final twist the Bible has right at the end, we discover that this feast is a wedding feast. Wow. It's the wedding supper of the Lamb. That's another way of talking about the Lord Jesus. The wedding supper of the Lamb. And guess what? His believing people, his forgiven people, are to be the bride at the party. Now, you don't get much better than being the bride at the wedding party, do you? John says those words we began with, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. Welcomed as the bride to the wedding feast that never ends. But maybe you're thinking, just like I was thinking at Le Manoir, there's no way I can pick up the bill, there's no way I really should be here. Maybe you're thinking, well, there's no way I should be at that party. I mean, I can't afford a dress for that party. There's no way I belong at that party. And if you're thinking that, you're absolutely right. That's exactly what you should be saying. There is absolutely no way I'm fit to be at this party. Yet we are welcomed. Despite who we are and despite what we've done, we're welcomed at this party. Because just as my friends paid the bill at Le Manoir, here's the good news. Jesus himself, the bridegroom, has already paid the price so we can come to this feast. So we can be made fit to be the bride. You've heard me say it so many times. It's his death that does that. His death that deals with everything that makes me unfit to be at that party. My sin, my wrong, my evil, all that is dealt with by Jesus when he dies on the cross. All that would keep me from that party, he's dealt with it. And instead, here's the beauty, instead he's given me what I can never deserve, which is his beauty, his goodness, his righteousness, his amazing white dress, if you like, for the bride, the gift of the Lord Jesus, to make us, his pure and perfect bride, fit for the wedding. But only because of Jesus. So come to the party. That's what Jesus says, come. Come knowing that despite who you are, you can come to the party because of Jesus. The price has been paid, the door is open, the feast is ready, come. Does the Bible have a happy ending? Of course it does when you say yes to the invitation of Jesus the King. And his invitation is just the same as it was 2,000 years ago, to you and to me. Come, come to me. Come and join the party. Or as Jesus put it, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come, take my yoke upon you. My yoke, that's my rule. Come, take my yoke upon you. Come with me, learn from me, live for me as your king. Ah, yes, there is something there I want you to notice. The person who sends the invitations is the king. Now, when somebody invites you to a party, you're kind of thinking, you've got to reply, haven't you? You've got to say, am I coming or not? Okay. And as you reply, you're thinking about, well, who invited me? And maybe you're thinking, well, it was John in my class. He invited me to the party. So, dear John, thank you very much. I'm replying to a friend. Or maybe you've been invited to a wedding, and at a wedding it's usually the bride's parents who do the inviting, isn't it? So I've been invited to Jane's wedding. I need to reply to Jane's mum and dad. Dear Jane's mum and dad, thank you very much. I'd love to be there. Or whatever. In other words, when you reply, you're recognizing who the person is who sent the invitation. Who sent this invitation? It's not my friend at school. It's not Jane's parents. It's the King of Kings. It's the Lord of Lords. It's the one to whom the entire universe belongs. He's the one who sent the invitation. So to say yes to his invitation, well, that means I bow the knee. That means I surrender to the King. That means I submit, not my way and what I want, but your way, what you pleases you, Jesus. Why? Because you're the King. You're not my mate. You're not Jane's mum and dad. You're the King. And it's the King who says, come. But that means I can only come on bended knee. See, that was the problem with Simon and his friends. Simon and his friends at this party, they loved the idea of God's party. They loved the idea that they'd be there. Only they wouldn't be there because they refused to recognize that Jesus was the King. They wouldn't have him as their king. So there'd be no happy ending. But according to Jesus, there's nothing better in all the universe than to be the King's friend, to be the King's bride, and sit at the King's party. Jesus says, come. Perhaps you think, yeah, I've heard that so many times. I have already come. Brilliant. You've come. You know the King. You're sitting at his table. Brilliant. What you do have, of course, then, is an invitation to deliver from Jesus the King to someone near you. An invitation for them to come. And if you're thinking, I know I haven't really come. I'm not sure I really know Jesus. I'm not sure he's my friend. Then please do ditch the excuses. The oxen, they're not worth it. Definitely not. The buying of a field, I wouldn't recommend it. Ditch the excuses and come to the king to whom the entire universe belongs, knows you, loves you, died for you, and would welcome you to his amazing party. Won't that be great? What a future. What a future for the friends of Jesus.